And I feel like the Lord's saying that this loneliness is not just, you know, we have times where loneliness, but it's something where the enemy has actually tricked you and lied to you. And what I hear the Lord saying is rebuke that enemy, that the Father God wants to be your husband.
Amen.
So as we were just worshiping, I just heard that saying that the Father God wants you to be. So this is what it is. Exchange this this thing that would lie to your mind and try to keep you in loneliness and start receiving the Lord's love. Start receiving the Lord's love. Amen. He is, if you look at the Bible, the way he is, that we the bride of Christ, we are all the bride of Christ. He is our husband. But I feel like the Lord saying, rebuke that lying voice and say, Lord, I receive your love. Exchange the voice that will repeat itself of you're going to just live in loneliness and start looking to him. Amen. When we allow the Lord to satisfy our soul, man, he'll bring other things into our lives because truly only he can satisfy. So I can tell you right now as I'm speaking, I know the Lord spoke this. And what comes is the enemy always attaches it to something if it can become a lie in our mind. And it'll repeat itself. And it'll repeat itself. And with that loneliness, what happens then is there can be becomes a spirit of sorrow that'll attach to that. I'm telling you now to rebuke that thing in Jesus' name and to start receiving his love, start receiving his voice, amen, his voice, his comfort, amen, his peace, and his strength. I don't know about you, but for me, I say thank you, Lord, for being the husbandman. Thank you, Lord, for being satisfying my soul. Amen. You know, years ago, I was going through a time where I, even though I was married, but because of the condition of my heart, I was as lonely as can be.
Amen.
And when I learned that only he can satisfy my soul, only he can fill that empty void, only then could I become a good friend, a good husband, dependable, because he has satisfied my soul 100%. And where the enemy gets us, where he gets people, is he lies. And he tries to deceive just in a little area. And what can happen in this little area where the voice of the enemy comes, and then what happens is we can start feeling sorry for ourselves. And then we can start feeling sorry for ourselves. And that becomes a thing where the enemy can come with that sorrow of loneliness. Then we feel sorry for ourselves. And so, Father, right now, we rebuke that lying spirit in Jesus' name. And, Father, the Spirit of truth says that you are the husband, Father God, of the church, Lord. That regardless of where we are, Father God, you supply all of our needs. Father God, you're the one that satisfies our souls. You're the one that lifts heaviness off of our backs. So we rebuke that heaviness right now in Jesus' name, and we command it to go. And Father, thank you for revealing the truth in Jesus' name. We declare that and we speak that and we receive of that, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that seed of truth. The Word of God is truth and the Word of God is seed. So we thank you for that seed tonight, Lord, and hearts, Lord. Lord, I receive that in my heart. And so we thank you for that and we praise you and we exalt you. In the wonderful, loving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Lord, thank you for satisfying every need in our lives. Satisfies that itch that Amazon can't scratch.
Yeah, I know.
That no friend. But when we have understood his friendship of the Holy Spirit of Jesus in our lives, then we can be a good friend, can't we? And a good mate, however that, and dependable in all those areas. So thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen and amen. You may be seated. And that's going to go right along, I think, with the word tonight I want to talk about. You know, there's nothing worse, I think, than loneliness. You don't have to be locked in a prison cell to be lonely, but nevertheless, we know that Paul was many times. And then talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the joy of God in a very difficult circumstances. Would you agree with that? Amen? Is a few of you awake this wonderful Wednesday evening? Amen. Aren't you glad that you have ears to hear? Are you glad you have ears to hear? Seriously. A good portion of the world doesn't have ears to hear. Isn't that sad? And Lord, in those areas where we don't have ears to hear, thank you for showing us those things. Glory, hallelujah. And so I had mentioned, because we're in chapter 7, session 69, right? Isn't that amazing? Earl, you turned 69 today. Happy birthday. Was I allowed to say that? Kathy Williams had a birthday today. Can we just, both of them, so can we just sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, there comes a time and an age where I found out where maybe it's, I don't know, it's particular individuals or maybe a man thing where you're like, I'm done celebrating birthdays. Amen. Let me just say this as we begin, because we had talked about in chapter 7 where Jesus was talking to a crowd in the temple. And they were upset because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. But he says it's okay but you're good if somebody is circumcised on the Sabbath. Then we went talking about being circumcised of heart, where Paul said this, something that was, I'm telling you, at the time was very radical. He said, he who is circumcised on the inside is a Jew. He said it that way in Romans. Well, that we know, not to get in that tonight, but that caused an upheaval, and it's the reason why I mentioned Sunday when he went back into Jerusalem, because he's on his way to Rome, that they tried to kill him right there, and they tried to kill him up to the time he finally was shipped out to go to Rome, where basically in, you know, the last few chapters of the book of Acts, because of statements like that he said. He who is circumcised in the heart is a real Jew. Well, he's talking about that where Abraham said, hey, Abraham was, righteousness was credited to him by faith, right? And then after that, the sign of circumcision came. And Paul's point was, as he was declared righteous before the circumcision came, and that was just a sign. But I won't go any further there. But what I want to talk about tonight is about a seed. You know, everything in the natural comes from a seed. Would you agree? But I want to tell you, too, that everything in the spiritual world comes from a seed as well. Did you know that? And so many years ago, I was working in my yard, and maybe God does the same thing for you. You know, God can speak to us in different ways, and mine seems to be when I'm working in the yard. And I just remember the Lord, I was looking at all these different weeds and plants, and I was pulling weeds out around the well area of the trees. And I remember the Lord just speaking to me, saying, hey, look at, you see everything here. You're pulling weeds, you're tending the trees. Everything came from a seed. And so I want to talk about the four types of hearers of the gospel. And I'm going to do this in two different ways. It's a parable that Jesus spoke, and he spoke many parables, by the way, about a seed, about the kingdom of God. So let's just get right into Matthew 13. So I'm taking a little side road here, and we'll get back to John chapter 7 most likely next week. So Matthew 13, verse 3 says, and he told them, this is Jesus, and he told them many things in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. This is seed. What do you sow? Seed, right? And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where there did not have much soil, and they sprang up immediately because they had no depth of soil. But after the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, others fell along the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. But the others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30 times as much. The one who has ears, let him hear. He was always saying that, wasn't he? One who has ears, let him hear. And Lord, I pray for the church in general, Lord, that once again we would have ears to hear. Father, thank you for ears to hear. Thank you. This is a time, Lord, once again, Father God, where your church is hearing, your people are hearing, and you're speaking afresh and anew. Thank you for this is the time, Father, of people coming out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a time where people are coming out of pain and sorrow and regret in the past, coming into purpose for what God could have for them. But it's all going to depend on a seed, I'm telling you right now. It's all going to depend upon a seed. And so Jesus had to explain, because then his disciples would come to him and say, well, what did you mean, Jesus? And he would say, hey, this has been spoken to the masses, and they're not going to understand. But he says, but I'm going to explain it to you. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does today. Didn't Jesus say that it is imperative that I leave? Because when I leave, then I will give you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. So now when Jesus, in place of Jesus in the flesh, as you and I are disciples of Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit takes these things and says, hey, let me explain it to you, if you have ears to hear. And even the truth of the matter is, even as he spoke to many of these disciples, remember, they really didn't fully hear or understand till after he was gone. Then they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring those things back to your remembrance that I spoke to you, and then you will understand it. Isn't that amazing? To see, it's that same Holy Spirit that will drive out that loneliness. Amen. It's that same Holy Spirit that will drive out that fear in Jesus' name. It's the same Holy Spirit that will move the shroud and all the clouds of confusion and actually start speaking truth to our lives so that we can walk with him with confidence. See, that's the thing the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Walk with him with confidence. Amen. How many of you are walking here with confidence? I want more confidence. Is it perfect confidence? No. Sometimes I'm asked to say, Lord, help me here. Not quite measuring up, or I know I got to be doing some more stuff. For me, it's always, what more do I need to do? So my confidence is always based. For you, who knows what it could be based on? It can be your background, your upbringing, different things. The enemy's always trying to erode your confidence and say it's not quite enough. And I've come to realize, Lord, if there's something more I need to do, please show me, because I'm not moving a foot until you show me. Been down that road. It's called the squirrel cage. And it said, listen, Jesus said in verse 18, listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in the heart. This is the one seed, the one sown with seed beside the road. It said the birds came and stole it, didn't it? That reminds me, remember Abraham when God entered into that covenant with him, God did. Remember, Abraham took those animals and cut them in half and put them in a side with just a path going down the middle in the book of Genesis. And God walked through the middle of that. He was the one that made the covenant with himself, with the smoking furnace and the torch, right? What did Abraham have to do? The only thing he had to do, we said he believed God, but it said that there was birds that came down, and he had to drive them away. And so the thing that you and I have to understand here, now there's people that they don't know the Lord, so that they don't understand the word. The enemy takes it right away. But I want to also do this on the dual side for believers. This parable is also for believers. that when the Word of God comes forth, you're born again. That's just the beginning. We're growing. And much of what we grow and learn is what's been sown, what we hear, what you hear from the Word of God, what another one blesses you with. Maybe it could be your spouse or friends, but there's seed always going forth. But let me ask you, what kind of ground is it landing on? Are the birds coming and lying to you and snatching them, and they bear no fruit? The minute they land, the enemy comes and gets it and takes it. And we don't even realize it's the enemy. We're so used to the enemy ripping us off in areas. When a word of truth comes forth that the Lord would like to land in your heart and to germinate and to begin to grow and bring forth fruit in your life, the enemy will destroy it through doubt. Well, that's not true. Or that's not for me. Or it could be through pride, like I'm here, but I'm not hearing anything. I'm not receiving anything. There's nothing this individual or that individual could ever teach me. But if the Word of God in its simplicity coming forth, there's something God wants to germinate in your heart with a seed. That's the way it works, the seed. No matter your age, no matter your background, your future, God is wanting to plant seed in your heart. Don't allow a doubt or what the enemy can trick you and say, well, that's not for me. Oh, or whatever. Always saying, Lord, is that for me? Because we're going to talk a little bit more. You know, you just have to receive that word by faith. Don't allow the enemy to steal it or the surroundings. And that thing will produce fruit on its own, by the way. How do you know? Say, well, it's in the Word of God. Amen. Don't take my word. So that word, that doubt, that unbelief, we know that somebody could hear the gospel and just scoff. But what are the things that God speaks as seed to you that he doesn't want you to cast aside? Or say, I don't need that, or that's not for me. Amen. Don't let the birds steal seed that God wants to plant in your heart. That he wants to germinate, that wants to germinate and grow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then one seed, verse 20, then one sown with seed on the rocky places. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution occurs because of the word, immediately he falls away. He says, I don't believe that anymore. So for somebody that could receive the word of salvation, and I've had this where I talked to them and said, yes, I'm excited, and then I go to call them, and I can't get a hold of them, and all of a sudden the excitement is gone. Once again, it's been stolen. It didn't take any root. Something happened again. It could be, something, maybe somebody else laughed at them or somebody came against them, and they said, well, I guess what I experienced or what God showed me there, what I thought he did, I guess it didn't happen. Once again, it's just the enemy stealing that with a lie. You know, see, one thing I want to say that I've seen many people that have gone through this, and just because they deny the Word of God the first time doesn't mean down the road there's people praying for them, there's mothers, there's grandparents, there's family, there's friends. They can deny those things. They can go through that cycle, and all of a sudden it does take root, and it does produce fruit. So don't think that just because somebody or family member says, well, they didn't receive that word, I guess it's done. No, keep throwing seed. Keep planting seed. Keep showing the love of God. You'd never know at the right time where it's finally going to take root. Think of your life or at different times where it didn't take root. But today is the day of salvation, by the way. Today is the day. So regardless of where you are or what you've come against or what you've repelled or not repelled, today the seed of the Word of God can take root in your life. It can be the day. It might be the thousandth time that a seed has come your way. But finally, the cares of the world that would kick your rear end in a certain area of your lives, you finally say, I'm done with that. And today I'm going to receive this seed of God. It's speaking to me saying, persevere, grow, Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't let the bird steal. Don't let circumstances of life steal that seed that God would want to plant in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve an amazing, loving God. That's exciting news. That one that's among the throne, the thorns, that is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety, the next one. The one who's sown with seed among the thorns, that is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety. Have we ever heard the word anxiety in today's world? The anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. Those things that the emotions, the things we can get carried away. And so to that set of that thing being nurtured in an atmosphere of faith and trust and believing, that anxiety or fear will just take us away. It's like emotions are like a runaway train. And it gets going faster and faster, and it can go downhill, and you put on the brakes, and by that time it seems like it's too late. It's just a runaway train. Has anybody ever had some runaway emotions, or is that just me? Those have been times in my life where runaway emotions has choked out the seed of what God is trying to speak into my life. Finally, thank God that downhill train of emotions or fear or anxiety, finally it'll come down and come to a rest. And then God will, his graciousness, his faithfulness, he'll put that seed back in. It could be, trust me. I want to bless you. Whatever it is, I got a purpose. This seed that he wants to be planted, and he wants it to be nurtured. And then what happens, though, there's going to be another time, and here we go again. That train goes downhill, runaway emotions. But this time, something's different. God's shown you, revealed something to you, and it's like, not this time. I'm putting the brakes on before this train gets to running away. And I'm going to allow this seed, I'm going to believe it. It's not going to be choked out. I'm not going to let the things of the world, the concerns of this world, choke it out. I'm not going to worry about the wealth of those around me or the wealth of what I'm thinking. I'm going to trust him. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to trust him because those things won't bring eternal joy. Can God bless you? Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about when that's the purpose, or that's when you're looking to fill that void, to take care of that, scratch that itch. But I'm going to come back to that so that's choked out. The cares of this world, pursuit. Amen. That's why they hated Daniel. Daniel was such a man of God, and God blessed him so much, but he was led by the Spirit of God. That the others were jealous of him, saying, why is this guy so blessed? He doesn't work as hard as these other people. They just think of the things that they thought about Daniel when they tricked him to where he was thrown into the lion's den. They were upset with him because of the blessing of God on his life. Well, he didn't pursue those things. He pursued God, and God blessed him with those things. The afflictions, among the thorns, the anxiety of the world, the deceitful of wealth, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But I like this. But the one sown with seed on the good soil, this is the one that hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 160, some 30 times as much. So, amen, that where that finally those things, those areas that would try to steal that, the birds, the unbelief, amen, the anxieties of life, the fears of life, the pursuit of other things. Finally, God is so faithful. Finally, we say, stop, enough is enough. Lord, thank you for this seed, the things that you're speaking to me into my life. I'm going to allow them to be germinated in an atmosphere, in a soil of my heart in faith and trust. See, when God plants things, he can plant a vision. You could be in the middle of a worship. Let me just tell you this. You could be in the middle of a worship service, and you'll see little pictures of what God has for you during the worship. That's like a little seed picture form that God will put in your heart. So what do? You just keep trusting him. You keep pursuing him. that'll start taking root in your life. It'll start growing, and on its own time, when you don't allow that thing to be hindered by what we just talked about, that'll come to fruition by God's hand. You won't have to do anything but protect it from the birds, from the anxieties and the fears. Protect it from the things that want to get in its way. And I don't care what your age is, the word is always being sown. It's always wanting to land on a heart. Amen. How do we know? Well, we look at Abraham, the old fella. They got the promise at 90. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of seed." There we go. Which is perishable, but imperishable. Hallelujah. Amen. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. So the Word of God is enduring. And what does God teach me? To endure with the Word. See, the Word's going to endure regardless of what I do, but He teaches with me. My Word endures. My Word goes out and performs and does what I called it to do, and it does not return void. So if the Word of God is enduring, I walk with the Word of God. I walk with His promises, and I endure with the Word of God. Amen? Absolutely. If the Holy Spirit lives in me, all things are possible to him that believe. Amen? I'm strengthened day by day by His Holy Spirit, by His strength, by those promises. Amen. And what happens is as those things are tended in your heart and God grows and these different fruits, these things start manifesting in your life, it's like, wow, the promises of God are true. Wow. But it starts first by a seed. Let me just talk about a parable of a seed, another parable. You still with me? Are you still out there? Does it make any sense? Let's continue with a few more parables. Mark 4:26-32. And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed." So let me just stop there. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. What's the soil? It's your heart. It's your heart. This is what this is talking about. It's your heart. See, the Lord is all about the heart. He's all about your heart. He made you. He's a good, good papa. He's a good, good dad. He's a loving father. He loves you. It's all about your heart. The people of this world that are totally opposed to them, He still loves them. He wants their heart. See, He's not looking for somebody just to obey some rules and clean up. No, He wants your heart. He wants to plant all these different things into your heart. And let me just say, there's a lot of things you may be struggling with. Now, let me just say this. There could be things that you're struggling with, these acts of the flesh, Paul calls it in Galatians and in Ephesians. A lot of those times, can I say this? These are things that have been planted in your life previously. They're called weeds. Weeds come from a seed. And you could have words spoken over you from the time you were young or from a relationship. And sometimes you could be dealing with weed for some time, a lot longer than you would like to. But I'm telling you, when you don't give up and you don't listen to the voice of the enemy and you continue to allow the good seed to be planted, guess what I've noticed? The good seed will now start choking out the weeds in Jesus' name. Those start dying. And the Holy Spirit starts to pull those out. And He starts planting the good seeds about who you are in Christ. What He thinks about you. What He wants to do in your relationships. What He wants to do in your job. What He wants to do in your ministry. Whatever God has placed upon you, in you, through seed and through the DNA of the Holy Spirit, those things will come forth. So if you're dealing with some bad things now, just say, "God, thank you for pulling out those bad seeds in Jesus' name." And He's faithful. And keep planting. Keep building. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up daily. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. That's the amazing thing. As you're continuing to follow God, trust God, believe in the word, these promises, this seed, these things begin to grow in your life. And you're like, how does this happen? Trusting Him. going to bed, getting up the next day and saying, thank you, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Amen. And then you start growing in the things of God. You're saying, how did that happen? You'll be struggling with some things that you're saying, Lord, set me free. And then all of a sudden, a time will go by and you all of a sudden say, I'm not struggling with that. How did that happen? Good seed took its place and grew and produced fruit. And now you're eating the fruit of his faithfulness. Your friends, your mate, those around you begin to eat the fruit of your goodness that came from God, that is fruit that came from a seed. Thank you, Jesus. That's why in marriages you grow. If you got any scruples, you're planting good seed all the time in your mate. If you don't give up, even the bad seed that's in your mate, even from a lifetime, I'm telling you, God will eventually, those things will be choked out with the wonderful fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He does not know how it grew. 28, the soil produces crops by itself. Did you hear that? The soil produces crops by itself. Remember, he's going back, the kingdom of God is like this. The soil produces crops by itself, first the stalk, is how it, first the stalk, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. That's the fruit. Amen? Amen. Now, when the crop permits, he immediately puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. There'll be a harvest, a blessing in your life to give others, to share with others. Amen. Let's do another one, parable. And he's, verse 30, he keeps going in Mark. This is, he says, and he was saying, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? So now he's saying, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? See this picture in your mind, okay? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed. There's seed, right? Which when sown upon the soil, where's the soil? Your heart. Other people's hearts. Your heart. Let me just say this. You're always still sowing seed or receiving some kind of seed. It's always going to produce something, by the way. It's always going to produce something. It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is the smallest of all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches, with the result that the birds of the sky can nest under its shade. And in this case, the birds are not the enemy. Those are those you have influence on. Those birds can be children. Those birds can be your spouse, your friends, your church, your neighborhood, whatever it is. They come and rest in what God has done in your life, and it all started with a seed. What you're planting, what you're allowing to be planted, things that we watch on TV are seeds. Things that we allow ourselves to see on a computer is a seed. Things, just like things that we say to other people are a seed. And I can tell you, if you're one person that says a lot of nasty things or can, that's just the fruit of things that have been planted in the past. And so what you do is you say, thank you, Lord. I rebuke and I curse that fruit. Thank you for cutting it off in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for the seed of the Word of God that brings forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. What's it called? It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Where does fruit come from? A tree. Where does a tree come from? Seed. Seed. Thank you, Jesus. Just like everything comes from in the natural from a seed, everything in the spiritual comes from a seed. Thank you, Lord, for showing us those things. Thank you for the simplicity and the truth of the gospel. Lord, I pray that would land on hearts with good soil. Just one seed produce that big old tree with the birds. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, how does seed not hit good soil? It can be people. For many people, it can be attitudes. It can be hurts and pains. It can be preoccupied with other things. You ever done that? I've got a good friend. He loves to give. If I tell him, hey, I need money for this need or for this ministry. He doesn't go to this church. He's just my friend. He says, yeah, how much you need? But yet he's preoccupied. And he doesn't take the doesn't allow the time for the seed of the Word of God to be sown in his heart to produce much more than just writing a check. See, he's one that I hope doesn't stay there, but it's one of those that's from 1 Corinthians 13, though I give all I have to the poor, that I don't have love, it profits me nothing. I know his heart as far as he's doing, and I can say I need this, but he's so preoccupied with his success that I can't get him to stop for a little bit. And he's preoccupied with success because of hurts that he's had in his life, which led to certain attitudes where seed can't land and do a work in his heart. I say this, say, Lord, show me anything that would hinder the growth of the seed of the Word of God. Pride can do that. Amen. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A few more things. I want to just say this. So this is the one I always love. So I know it can be a heart condition. Is money is a seed. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God. Money is a seed. I want to throw that in just to throw a wrench in tonight. 2 Corinthians 8:9, this is, for you know the grace. There's that word again, by the way. Hey, can I just say something real? Can you turn that off real quick, John, real quick? I'm sorry, brother. As we continue on Sunday with the foundations of the new covenant. But you know, every book that Paul wrote ends with grace in it. Every scripture except for Romans. But it's just a 3 or 4 verses up. He ends that with about talking about the grace of God. How powerful is the grace of God in our lives? It's everything. Revolution of grace changed my life. And a couple months back, the Lord says, man, you've just begun. You've acted like Chad. This is something that you just learned. Okay, now on to the next thing. No, this is where you're going to live. You're going to move. You're going to breathe. You're going to grow. You're going to minister. And your anointing, everybody anointing, all comes through the grace of God. Money is a seed, 2 Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ? I'm learning, and I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to ask for understanding in this area. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And I'm going to tell you this. He's talking in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. When you read through this, it is 110% about money. There's nothing else. He's not talking about being rich in mercy. He's not talking about being rich in grace. He's talking about a full supply in your finances. Did you know that? Let me read that again. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So how does this work? We could say, well, I just wish real hard. I say this scripture over to myself every night 10 times. Take communion with it. Say it again. Wake up in the morning. I put this scripture on my mirror. I put it in my car. No, that's not how it happened. He says this is how it happened. 2 Corinthians 9, the next one. Thank you, John. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9. It says, now... So he's talking about money. He says, now I say this, the one who sows, so we're talking about sowing again, right? But this is talking about finances. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. There's that sowing and reaping, a seed and harvest. And the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart. By the way, when you talk about finance, let me stop there. if I want to get people, it's funny. This is the way it is. If I say, hey, I'm going to talk about finances today, I can see the arms start folding. And people say, man, that pastor's just trying to get our money. It's the farthest thing from my mind, I promise you. But see, that's a lie of the enemy, because there's been others who do deceive and lie and are snake oil salesmen. But as Pastor Lee, who founded this church, used to say, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't throw the whole thing out. You start learning properly, get rid of that bad seed, the lies of the enemy, that when finances are talked about or sowing or reaping, that your heart attitude won't allow you to hear it and receive. I don't want to be that way. How about you? Well, I'm not that way. I've learned not to be that way. Now, I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap sparingly. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you. There's that word grace again, by the way. His unmerited favor. His favor on your life. His favor when you don't deserve it. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Sowing in your finances. It's seed. I think God is looking for people that he can trust with finances to sow. That he can bless them, that seed that they sow, the harvest they get with that, they don't become undisciplined. It can be hard to be disciplined with money. My goodness. If you can be disciplined with money, you're disciplined. And it doesn't matter how little you have or how much you have. Being disciplined with money can be the most difficult thing in this country here anyway. How do I know? Somebody could have a 3-car garage, open it up, and it's like, where do you park? Our garages become storage units for our stuff, haven't they? I'm just saying the truth. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm talking to myself. But it's sowing seed, monies. He says you'll reap a harvest where that when more opportunities come, you want to sow. Other opportunities come, you want to sow. In this case, they were giving to the church in Jerusalem. He says, you've been blessed financially. Israel has blessed you spiritually. You need to give to them. So sowing. So what have I learned? When things get tight, what's the first thing our flesh says? Okay, cut everything. I remember one time, and I'll close it here, I had a business. I had some employees, and things were a little tight. So I had this meeting, and I said, hey, we've got to learn here how to cut some things from the budget. And this gal said to me, and I still remember today, she says, no, you need to learn how to make more money. See, why do I say that? A lot of times when things can get tight, the first thing we do is we can quit sowing. Amen. But I've learned, I try to say, Lord, I'm not going to quit that. I want to be a sower, have the right heart, I want to sow. If you struggle with stinginess or things, the way to break that is be a sower, a giver. It'll break that. I love this, what someone had said. It says, we all believe that you can't outgive God, right? But very few try. People believe that you can't outgive God, but very few try. Amen. So not only our words, the words that come from us. I just want one more thing, and then we'll go. I'm sorry, it says, talking about seed, but Romans 10, 8 through 11 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's seed, by the way. That is the word of faith. The word of faith which we are preaching, he says. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ, that seed, confess with the mouth, Lord Jesus, your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's an incorruptible seed that we're just talking about in Peter. For with the heart a person believes, amen, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Let me just say this, resulting in salvation. And also there's different areas in our lives that we need to be rescued. We need to be helped. And how do you do that? You start declaring, you start planting seed. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for blessing. We've said this over and over, but I say it, but I'm saying it a different way. Thank you for blessing my home. Thank you for blessing my children. Thank you for blessing my relationships. We start sowing that seed. Amen. If you've got children, I've come to learn. When I talk to them, I'm just planting seed of his righteousness, planting those things. I don't know when it's going to take root in some of these areas that I'm praying for them, but I know it's not going to happen unless a seed takes root. So I'll be that seed. I pray that other people they come in contact will be that seed declaring the truth of God. And at some point, through faith and belief, that seed from somebody is going to finally hit a soil ripe for salvation, for deliverance, or healing. So not just salvation from freedom from hell, but how about salvation for a healed body? Start declaring the truth of the Word of God over your body for health. Start declaring the Word of God over your finances. Begin a sower of your finances. Those are the principle, because when you sow the truth or sow the right things, you cannot help but have a harvest somewhere down the road. But don't let the bird steal it. Don't let anxiety steal it. Don't let runaway emotion steal it. Let the Word of God stand firm in the soil of your heart and produce fruit. And so we thank you for that tonight. We declare it. We speak it. We love you, Father God. Thank you for revealing your truths. Thank you for blessing our homes. Thank you for blessing our relationships. I speak seed and truth right now, Father God. Thank you for breaking lies, Father God, that have produced bad fruit, God, that have produced weeds, Father. Thank you for revealing those things, and thank you for bringing those out. Thank you for choking those things out with the truth, with the fruit of the Word of God. And so we declare that, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. And